From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
When she took the stage as a debater, she had a reputation of making opponents sit up and take notice. For several years, she was a lone woman in a male-dominated field. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and our conversation today on The Journey is with Gavette Richardson. Welcome.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about your upbringing. We know you're from Alabama. Tell me where exactly in Alabama you're from.
I am from Birmingham, Alabama. I am a proud Alabamian. I grew up there. My family is all from Alabama, basically. I'm probably like eighth generation Alabamian. And so it's been a great place to grow up.
Okay. Well, did you go to public schools in Alabama?
I went to public schools from kindergarten through eighth grade, and then there was a transition in my family, and my mom felt best for me to go to a Catholic school in Birmingham, John Carroll Catholic, which is a great thing, actually, in hindsight, because it's the reason I ended up at Howard.
Okay. Why exactly did you end up at Howard because of that experience?
Well, attending John Carroll, there was a scholarship that was created by a trustee of Howard University, Mr. Robert Lumpkins. And the scholarship was for someone who came from my high school and then would end up going to Howard. And so in 2009, no one had taken the scholarship. I think most of my classmates and those before me thought Washington, D.C. was too far. It was too far away from Alabama. And so most people just kind of let it fall by the wayside. But I had a college counselor who I'm still very much so in touch with, who encouraged me to apply for the scholarship. And I had a strong backing from people here at Howard who convinced me that, you know, Howard was a great place, and I was sold.
That's excellent. So what was your undergrad major?
Well, my undergraduate major was in broadcast journalism, and I also had a minor in political science.
All right. And tell me about your undergraduate experience. What
I had a great undergraduate experience at Howard. It's half the reason why I've decided to stay to further my education in the law school. But undergrad was wonderful. The friendships that I've been able to build, the relationships that I have, I know that I would not have received at any other place but Howard. From my experience as a chapel assistant in the Andrew Rankin Memorial Chapel to the Howard University Alabama Club, and even as a member on the Howard University debate team, all of my experiences have been just great.
Tell me about your experience on the debate team. It is a male, tends to be a male-dominated field, and at Howard, obviously, the debate team is certainly a prestigious opportunity. Tell me what that was like for you and how you got involved in that.
Well, it's an interesting story. I had always done oratorical contests in high school. My mom was always the type of mom who pushed me. I was always the one who stood up in church to say Sunday speeches and or Easter speeches, and the list goes on and on. And so I'd always had a love for public speaking. And so when I got to college, I wanted to find a way to be able to continue to develop the skill of public speaking. So I came, saw a sign one day in school communications that said Howard Speech and Debate Team tryouts. I went to the tryouts. And at that time, my freshman year, the team was still really focused on speech, so there wasn't really of a focus on debate. And my sophomore year, our coach changed into attorney Angela Minor, and she had a strong focus on debate and asked me if I would kind of retry out for the team, and that's how I became the lone female member of the debate team.
What types of experiences you had in terms of debate competitions while?
Great opportunities. Debated Harvard, Yale, the list goes on. Even the Morehouse team was always a great competition. But the experiences I got, or the issues that I was able to talk about, were things that not many young people get a chance to experience. And for me, it was nothing that I took lightly. I knew that when I stood up on the stage that people were listening, and I wanted to make sure that I left a positive impact on whatever the issue was I was debating, I was talking about, that somebody left with some kind of knowledge that they wouldn't not have normally been able to receive.
Well, that's excellent. You know, I've seen the debate team in action myself, and I've seen some of the rebuttals. I'm always curious as to the short period of time you have for the response, and what techniques do you employ to ensure that your response is pertinent as well as it's decisive?
Well, that, you know, sometimes it's kind of in the moment. You just kind of feel whatever the response may be. I think it was always funny when I would have notable responses that people would sometimes quote, and I would be like, I didn't realize it was going to be that notable. It was just something I felt or said or something we might have discussed in practice that I kept in the back of my head, and so maybe I should use that now. And so it's always just been one of those kind of moments where you just do what you think is best. Yeah.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Gavette Richardson. She's a second-year law student from Alabama. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Just to switch gears a little bit, why law school?
Well, so my undergraduate major was in broadcast journalism, and I chose that major because I wanted to be a voice for the voiceless. That was my original plan. And in doing that, I think I decided I wanted to use that degree and further myself in order to also be a social engineer in the sense of being able to do some kind of change. That was the whole idea behind journalism, and the idea behind law school is to be able to assert some type of change. And for me, even more so now because of the events that are going on our nation, especially with the killings of African-American men by acts of violence and just generally what's going on in our nation, it empowers me even more to want to make a difference in some form or fashion. So for me, law school or law practicing one day has been that goal of trying to just being able to make a difference in the world.
Now, these are your contemporaries who, as you said, have been killed, and therefore I'm sure you have a very different perspective. What is your perspective of the African-American male? Let's start with that.
Well, for me, I think it's something of power to be an African-American male. I know it has not been an easy journey for any person, but I think that of the African-American male has been one that has shaped our country. I think we stand on the shoulders of African-American men and women who have made a positive impact on our world, who have not necessarily always been recognized for their deeds.
And with respect to the law, since you're in law school, I'm sure people call you all the time, your friends, as they called me when I was in medical school, asking you all kinds of questions that you sometimes are uncomfortable with. But based on what you have learned so far, seen being in law school, what is your, perspective of the judicial system today?
Well, I think our judicial system needs a lot of work. I think it's something that it kind of disheartens me in a sense as an upcoming attorney to think about how it is that we can use a system that's supposed to be able to incite this sense of justice to our communities that it doesn't seem to be doing that right now. So for me, it seems as if it's the system that's supposed to help and it's not necessarily doing what it's supposed to be doing. But I think generally to look in the future, I think it's going to take people of my generation to stand up and make a difference in whatever form or fashion that may be, whether it's becoming black prosecutors or if it's becoming judges or even governors of states in our country. I think there's something that needs to be done in the near future that to kind of garner the future of the judicial system.
Or even female presidents of the country.
Yes, that right. Definitely.
What type of law are you attracted to right now?
Ironically, civil rights law, in the sense of trying to make sure that all people are given the fair opportunity that they deserve to be able to be productive citizens, you know, of our country. So civil rights and a little bit of education law, too, because I think it starts definitely in our education system.
Are you involved in any of the clinics at the law school presently?
I am. I'm a member of the Fair Housing Clinic. It's been a great opportunity because I'm actually getting hands-on experience with clients working and dealing with their housing issues in the District of Columbia. It's an issue that not many people shine lights on to, but it's definitely something that needs to be discussed, needs to be looked upon, and definitely nationwide.
Tell me what kind of cases you've seen so far in the clinic.
Well, there are a variety of cases that we see. Some can be dealing with issues related to housing conditions. Some people are living in some interesting conditions in reference to mold and just having health conditions that actually go along with being able to have somewhere to live. And you think so many people are homeless, but those people who are not homeless, who actually have somewhere, a roof over their head, sometimes aren't giving fair or adequate housing in order to do so.
Now, as an undergrad student, you studied abroad. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that experience.
I did. I had two opportunities to go abroad. I went to Egypt the summer after my freshman year, and I went to Greece the summer after my junior year. Both wonderful experiences with wonderful Howard University professors that have shaped, I think, the way that I think. My Egypt experience was right before the riots happened in Egypt. And so for me, and the other students that were on that trip, it kind of shook us a little bit to say, you know, how things can change so quickly and how you can kind of be involved in something and then, you know, it changes so quickly. So for us, it was a great life lesson. Got to swim in the Nile River, and that's something I'll never forget. And just being able to kind of go back into where our history began to shape, you know, what the future is for us as young people.
And what about in Greece? What was...
And so Greece was also a great experience as well, being able to be in Athens in the heart of Greece, and the heart of a lot of things have shaped for governments and systems have come from Greece. So to be able to be there and to learn about that history was phenomenal.
Now, you interned in 2011 in the White House Office of Management and Budget.
Mm-hmm.
That office gets a lot of flack, as they would say. What was your experience like?
It was a great experience. I did that from 2011 until I graduated in 2013. So the People, Office of Management and Budget kind of became a second family for me. I enjoyed working, especially at a time when it was President Barack Obama in the White House. So that was always fun. I got a chance to meet Vice President Joe Biden. And the time I was supposed to meet President Obama, I ended up going home for like winter break. And so it still kind of haunts me to this day. I didn't get a chance to meet him. But it was fun. It was a different task. Sometimes dealing with the constituents of America isn't easy because I was the frontline person receiving the phone calls. And sometimes I got an earful. But overall, it was a really great experience.
Yeah. If you continue on the journey that you're on, he'll probably be looking to meet you one day.
Well, thank you.
You're interested in opening an autism center. Mm-hmm. Why an autism center?
Well, my oldest brother, he's 14 months older than me, my older brother, I should say, is low-scale autistic. And for us in Birmingham, there have been not that many centers for him to be able to go to after he left the public school system in 12th grade. And that's a national issue. As autism is becoming more prevalent, you see more people discussing it. There are more programs for younger people with autism. So in the 3-year-old to probably now 12-year-old group, there are more programs being available. For those who are adults now, my brother is 24, about to be 25, there aren't that many programs. So for us, we kind of challenged ourselves to try to want to do something as a family. And for me, that's being able to help and form some kind of center so that not necessarily my brother, but those who come after him would be able to have a place to go.
Yeah, that's a very admirable goal, given your experience. Now, you were a chapel assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your experience as a chapel assistant.
It was great. I consider Chapel Assistants my first organization that I joined. I eventually pledged a sorority, and so I count that. But I count my Chapel Assistants family as my first family, I guess, that I will say, at Howard. They were a group of people who took anybody in. You could be any kind of student, and it's just a kind of come-as-you-are type of atmosphere. From Dean Richardson to even Mr. Hargett, the sexton of the chapel, everybody is very loving and very opening to all kind of students. So for me, it was a place where you could be yourself and you could still grow in your spirituality and grow within yourself. And so I'm eternally grateful for the experience.
You hear lots about sororities and fraternities today for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But as you can testify to, they do a lot of good.
Mm-hmm,
tell me a little bit about why you joined a sorority and what mm-hmm. why you think it has been such a good experience for you.
Well, I'm a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, and our sorority was founded on Christian principles, but also founded to work and to do service. And so for me, my favorite quotation is, to whom much is given, of whom much is required. And in that, I feel service is at the forefront of that. And so for me, my sorority is always on the front lines, has been since the beginning, of making sure that they're out there and we're out there making a difference and pushing for change to come. So for me, there still is a prevalence for African-American sororities or fraternities in general to be out there in the forefront and to be out there to be a voice for our people.
Well, Ms. Richardson, thanks for sharing your journey from Birmingham to Washington, D.C. my guest today has been Gavette Richardson. She is a second-year law student from Birmingham, Alabama, and represents the best of what Howard University has to offer and produces. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.
WHUR is wherever you are. Download our new app and listen to us on your iPhone, iPad, Android, or listen to us online at TuneIn and WHUR.com.